This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
I hate this music, Bob. Do you?
We've been asking Austin for a change of music for a long time.
He has done that. I don't know why he reverts to this.
This is just in the rotator still. Like it just pops
it out
up
of the
and
rotator.
It doesn't say a name, so I don't know which one pops up at times.
We want our own music. I've said this. We need to solicit people.
We've done it. People have
things.
Sent music.
Then use that.
The one that you sent me was really, whoever did that. Remember along
Joe never got back to me. I sent that to him like four times. Somebody
that.
Made a theme song for the show, and I sent it to you, Joe.
Don't send it to me. Just use it. I don't even look at my email.
Do you have
I sent it to your text.
Do you have it right now?
I don't look
I
at my text from you.
I would need to record it.
Oh, my God. Something horrible happened yesterday.
Oh, boy. What?
Listen to this. I copied somebody else's tweet with a Malzy tweet on it. Okay? I took a screenshot, and it was somebody replying to Malzy. And I sent Malzy the screenshot, but on it, you could tell that I had muted Malzy.
What?
Yes. So I get a text from Malzy saying, meanwhile, I was saying to him, hey, look at this guy's tweet here. Can you believe this? Like interacting with Malzy. Little did I know that on my screenshot that I sent him, it indicated that I had muted Malzy on Twitter. So he sent me a text right back that said, Joe, have you muted me? And then I lied and I said, let me go check. And then I said, whoops, I have. Sorry about that.
Whoops.
What do you think of this?
Limits? Why did you intentionally mute Malzy? Did he say something that infuriated you
because
one day?
I need to stay singularly focused on this show and this job. And he's a high volume tweeter and I couldn't handle it anymore.
So do you have Pony muted?
Probably. Yeah.
Do you have Crowley muted?
Absolutely.
How about Doran?
No.
Is Callis muted?
I don't even think I follow Callis.
I don't think Donnie's muted, is he?
No.
Because he's on with us Friday?
Yeah. Donnie stuff I can handle.
Donnie will not be with us this Friday.
I know. But I think Malzy's a little sore, Bob. Did I insult him? Or how do I handle this from a social etiquette point of view?
Just say it was an accident and move on.
It wasn't an accident, and we both know that now.
I only do it so I don't have to hear the noise. I like going to restaurants sitting by myself. I play golf by myself. I travel by myself, and I don't like to listen to noise. It's simple. Don't take it personally.
Very good. I like that. Sports Talk on the Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com NFL to get started today. Listen, before we get to the Aaron Rodgers stuff, you know, we don't talk a ton of basketball, but we're going to talk about it right now because the Ohtani of basketball is happening. A freakishly talented player who, even if you don't watch basketball ever, you're going to want to tune into for the next time the San Antonio Spurs play. Victor Wembanyama, 7'5". We were just watching him on the highlights here, Bob. Reverse alley-oops, dribbling between his legs at the three-point line for step-back threes, fall-away shots in the lane where obviously nobody can guard him because when he rises to, what, 13 or 14
he's
feet?
He's way above the rim. And you, when you see a guy like Anthony Davis, who's an elite defender, he can't match him.
It's crazy. I've never seen anything like it. Jay Billis was really good during the game last night. I'm not normally a huge fan, but he made a great comparison. He said he's playing NBA basketball like it's on a Nerf hoop, and that is absolutely true.
It really is true.
When he went under the basket for a reverse dunk, it was crazy. From the point where the point where he left from was crazy.
But he faked the guy out, and he's very good at handling the basketball for someone his size. He also step backs three shots. He does everything you could want, and then he's one of the best perimeter defenders maybe in the history game. He's only been in the league for a year, and he has more blocks than you can imagine. So,
well, last night he was the first guy, what did they say, 40
points, 15 rebounds.
And zero turnovers.
And zero turnovers.
First time those benchmarks have been reached.
And since 75% shooting from the floor.
Since the NBA started tracking turnovers. Plus, he blocks 10 shots. It's insane. I've never seen anything like this. Have you?
You can't teach 7'5" or 6", whatever he is.
I know, but there have been other guys like George Mirazan and people like that, or Bol, who are 7'5".
And he's going to put on more weight, too. He's a big string bean right now. But
Straddled the three-point line yesterday like Steph Curry. Look at this. In, back between the legs, fall away three. This is crazy. His MVP odds went from plus 850 before the game to plus 300 after the game.
And it'll keep going in
his
going
to be minus real soon.
Because I don't know anyone
if
who
there
can
is a minus.
Him.
I don't know how that part of it works. Yeah, sure, Chauncey Billups does.
And Terry Rozier, who says...
Limits, did you watch any of that?
I did watch about a quarter late in the game, and... Man, Wemby's insane. I watched to watch Cooper Flagg. I wanted to see what Flagg did. He didn't even score in the first half.
He was horrible.
They shut him down. He should not be playing point guard. He's more of a
nobody's
of a
on
wing.
The same planet right now as Wemby.
He's wild.
It was previewed as Flagg against Wemby. It's nobody on earth against Wemby.
Except
for Joker. That's going to be a legendary matchup because Joker will take him down low and do what he wants with him.
And he'll try to physically get him off his game. But I don't think it'll happen. I'll take Wemby on every matchup against every NBA defender.
We should watch. That's must-watch television there. You know what else is, Bob? Steelers-Packers Sunday night. It's the Aaron Rodgers Bowl. Now, Rodgers claims that he's not out for revenge. I don't know. Do we have these clips spliced up here like Good Morning Football did? He said this isn't a revenge game. He said the same thing about the Jets, and then when the game was over, he said... it felt pretty darn good to beat everybody associated with the New York Jets.
But there are different circumstances.
Aaron Rodgers keeps receipts.
He got
receipts.
Thrown out of the Jets in a very tic-tacky way to
Bob,
do it.
Bob, this guy keeps receipts. He keeps receipts like my mom did. They're all alphabetically ordered. He has spent a lot of time in his life keeping receipts. Would you agree with that? Aaron Rodgers has a long memory.
I think time has a way of making you a little bit more mellow.
I think he wants to hammer the Green Bay Packers, and I think he's probably hurt that he was still at the very top of his Hall of Fame career, and they basically kicked him out.
Right.
And it wasn't that long ago. I think he wants to kick their ass.
I totally agree with that. I think he does, but I don't think it's going to be as it was in New York postgame. He's not going to come out and say, I wanted to prove a point to these guys.
I don't know about that.
I don't think he's going to do that.
We talked about this yesterday, and my view has kind of changed on that. It might be more so with the Packers. Because really, what skin did he have in the game with the Jets? He got there. 10 minutes later, he was gone. With the Packers, he put in an entire lifetime into them, was still an MVP-caliber player, pretty much. He had a little bit of an off season, and they kicked him out of town. I think it might be more, and the same coach is there.
We'll see. I don't think it'll be that way.
We'll be monitoring the post-game
and
comments,
I think he knows down deep, too. He wants to beat every team in the NFL, and this is his one chance.
That's his chance.
That's the way to deliver the punch. Just, I'll beat you head on, so I'll complete my tour around the NFL.
Well, let's listen to Rodgers uncut from yesterday, Limits, and if Bob or I raises our hand like this, look, Limits, then you just cut it off and we'll have a little conversation and then pick it up. Can we do that?
Let's do it.
We used to do this with Horse. Remember Joe Kopp, Bob?
Yes.
You miss him?
Yeah, I haven't seen Horse in a long time.
Wonderful,
he's doing
man.
Well. His coaching career is moving forward.
We did this with Folesy, too. Do you miss him?
Yeah, Folesy, too. It's amazing how time flies and how people change and move on.
Yeah, Folesies and Horses and Limits and everything. Let's go.
Aaron, after the Jets game, you said that game, obviously, you wanted to win for your team, but it was going to feel different against the Packers.
I said it would if we were in Green Bay.
If it were, okay. Does it still feel any different?
Again, it would feel different if it was going back to Green Bay. I have a lot of love for the organization, but if we were playing in Lambeau, that would be a little different feeling for sure.
What are your emotions heading into Sunday?
Just excited about the game.
How close are you with some of the guys? I mean, there's not that many guys left that were there when you
ain't
were there.
That many guys, yeah. I don't know many of the guys over there. The guys I talked to, and I was looking at my phone, I got a text from the photographer, Evan, I love. The nutritionist, Adam, hit me up yesterday. My longtime buddy, Nate, one of the trainers, hit me up. I was with those guys for the majority of the 18 years, with Evan for about 12 to 15 and Adam for about the same and Nate for 18 and some of the equipment guys for a long time. Flea, Brian, the head trainer for all 18. A lot of great relationships over there.
Do you see similarities in the close-knitness maybe of the Steelers organization when you were looking at coming here?
Well, Mike team made it appealing to me, but I was around Pittsburgh people my entire football career, starting with Mike McCarthy for 13 years. Mike's from Greenfield, and his love for this city and how he talked about it and playing with the Dom Capers on the staff and Darren Perry and Kevin Green and Ben McAdoo in my room and Frank Cignetti and Luke Getsy, Alex Van Pelt, a lot of people from this area. So I knew a lot about it just from talking to those guys. I knew what a great sports town it is, what a great tradition the Steelers have, and that was definitely a part of it. But like I said, Mike T was the first reason.
Bob, he's got his Pittsburgh history down
pat. He has it
pat.
All down. Not only that, all the relationships.
Alex Van Pelt comes out of nowhere.
How about Luke Getsy?
Luke
One of my
Getsy.
Former Extra Effort Award winners when I used to give out that award.
He really has respected and honored this city, really. And has really articulated quite well all the people who sort of informed him on Steelers history and this town, right? Everybody from Mike McCarthy to Luke Getsy.
Yeah, and you keep saying, and it's the number one reason he came here was Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin does have that ability to draw you in if you're a player.
That was before he saw Tomlin's defense. Next.
How special is it to play for two iconic franchises?
Yeah, I mean, there's only a few of those kind of cornerstone franchises in the league. And Packers obviously been around for over 100 years. And Steelers been around for a long time. We've got a great history. It's a great sports town. We were at the hockey game last night, saw Sid score a goal. And Sid, Letang, and Gino all been on the team, I think, 21 years, which is amazing. I'm in my 21st season, so I know how hard it is to stick around as long as those guys have. There's something special about the connection. I'm in the suite with Mario's, bodyguard Jay up there. Had a great conversation with him. Kiesel's in there as well.
Bodyguard
Wait
Jay.
Wait a second, Jay?
Jay Caulfield is the bodyguard.
Yeah, when is Jay joining our show, by the way, this year?
I think at the start of the new year.
Okay. Jay Caulfield. This is unbelievable. Jay, did you know of this, Bob?
Well, I mean, the relationship they have, I wouldn't call it a bodyguard.
No, but did you know that Rodgers was up there the other night?
Oh, yeah. He was. I think Roethlisberger was stepped by,
well,
too.
Why didn't you tell me any? Were you in there?
No, I was down below, but I saw them. Mm. And I knew they were coming because I saw them pregame walking in.
So
Will
Ben
Howard,
and Rodgers?
Will Howard has become a sponge to Aaron Rodgers, by the way.
Interesting.
He's with them all the time, seems like.
And
me.
Ben was with those guys?
I think I saw that, yes. But Jay came down. They took a picture together. Jay's responsible
Mario's
for a lot
bodyguard.
There. When he got him back into shape, when he wanted to make that comeback, all of that.
That's pretty cool.
Plus, Rodgers is a golfer. Jay loves to golf. Ben loves to golf. Everyone loves to golf, so they have a lot
What
of
if I went out with Jay, Ben, and Aaron?
You would lose.
Would I? Would you?
Yes, yes, yes.
Would Malzi?
Yes, yes, yes.
All those guys are way better than Malzi?
Listen, I know how Ben plays. He can shoot lights out. Rodgers reportedly, and I remember that when he went out to Sky Montana when they had that thing with Tom Brady, he can play. He played that day. And I've seen Jay play.
Mm.
So they've been playing a lot. Jay is one of the hardest working golf practice persons I've ever seen in my life, next to Vijay Singh. He's always on the golf course. Free time practicing.
Interesting. Next.
Played against Kiesel. That's one of the cool things that Kiesel and I were talking about last night, how in Green Bay and in Pittsburgh, there's iconic players, and they come back around, and they live in the city, and they call Pittsburgh home full time. And there's something special about that. Always said there's something in the water when you look at the great quarterbacks that have come from the area. But it's fun to be a part of this organization and the iconic Packers organization for so long, too.
Aaron, you played against Cleveland. What did you like about how you and the offensive line handled Gary? And is any of that applicable?
Well, I mean, he's deployed maybe a little different because he moves around a little bit more than maybe Miles does. But, again, those two are in the conversation of the very few players in the league that you actually have to have four hands on at all times. You know, we felt this way about our guy here, TJ. You know, we played him last year. We wanted to make sure he wasn't getting a lot of singles. And played against Micah before, he's a phenomenal player. He's a future Hall of Famer. He's a game wrecker. And you got to know where he's at all times.
Watching last Thursday's game, I couldn't help but think about the 2009 game Packers at Heinz Field.
2009? I remember that game. Yeah, I mean, we had a big night throwing it. Starting with Greg down the middle for about 85. And then James Jones, on the shake route to go ahead. And then Ben let him down the field. Back shoulder Mike for the win. No, I wasn't thinking about that game. But that was a fun game to the last seconds.
That was one of the greatest regular season games in Heinz Field history. Even though the Steelers didn't make the playoffs that year, it was Ben to Mike Wallace on a walk-off. And the game was especially notable. Well, it was a young Aaron Rodgers against a still fairly young Ben in an epic duel. But Mike Tomlin, late in that game, became the only coach I've ever seen at any level of football attempt an onside kick with a lead. Do you remember that, Bob?
I do. I remember only so many onside kicks that you remember. The one for Cowher in the Super Bowl to start the second half was something I'll always remember because, again, the surprise element has to be there for it to work. So, yes.
And I loved his decision, his explanation, okay? It was 30, listen to this. It was 30-28 Steelers with 3:58 left in the game. Did you hear that, Limits?
I did.
30-28 Steelers. Jeff Reed had just kicked a field goal. I think he was headed to Sheets after the game, Bob. And Tomlin ordered an onside kick. I've never seen that. So his decision, and I defended it, even though the Packers recovered and scored, guess what? They only had a short field to score on. So Ben took the Steelers right down the field and a walk-off touchdown. So Tomlin said after that game, I don't look for feedback. I'm just trying to win football games. My 8-year-old asked me what I was thinking. I just told him to be quiet. This was a couple days after the game. He basically said, making that decision to kick the onside kick started with the belief that we could get the football legally. So we wanted, obviously, to recover it. We weren't able to do that. And even if we weren't able to do that with almost 4 minutes left, if we were not able to stop them, I felt we'd have a significant amount of time to navigate the field. He basically was saying we couldn't stop them. I thought that was one of the gutsiest decisions of his whole career.
Yeah, the reason it was gutsy and even though it wasn't successful, surprise element has to come into play too. This is why I don't like the rule as it is right now with these onside kicks, that you can't do it unless you're in the last 2 minutes of the game or trailing.
So
you have to alert the team you're going to do it.
So bad.
That takes the whole point of doing it off the boards. Why couldn't you do it in the second quarter if you just scored and you want to get the ball back? So, yeah, that was – you remember onside kicks, especially at times of games that are controversial.
Yeah.
I don't think it's any bigger than the Super Bowl, though, when you do it to start the second half. That was really something.
That was great.
Texter writes in, love the show. So does everybody. Everyone loves our station.
I'm just going to keep victory lapping, baby.
I see you.
That's a great feeling.
We know what?
We putting a banner up, Harry?
We could, but I added some extra highlights in there if you wanted to end the hour with
them. Yeah, play one.
They're labeled Crowley highlights.
Oh, no.
Come on. Did you know you showed Jimmy?
I mean, I worry about someone, like, coming in here. And listen, like...
I recorded Crowley back in February because I was mad at him because he makes a lot of loud noises, and I still have those clips in there. He didn't know he was being recorded, so he was saying a bunch of nonsense.
It's actually illegal, right? Aren't we a two-party state?
You're in a booth that has communication capabilities like this, so you're not in a private space. You don't have an expectation of privacy in that booth.
Well, then I might as well play another one.
He's the fastest man who's ever been born. Oh, it's Dickie Dickerson. His penis is the second heaviest player in the league.
It's stuff like that that makes us the number one radio station in America. I wish these were labeled differently. I don't even know what I'm playing over here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm for sure.
That's it.
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusting HVAC and plumbing provider for over 50 years. Football Talk on the Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. And you can start Sunday on Paramount Plus and KDK with the Bears and Ravens. Baltimore, a massive favorite in that game because it looks like they're getting everybody back for that matchup. And don't let them get hot. And Steelers, please, somehow don't collapse again with a murderer's row schedule coming up of offenses and quarterbacks with the Packers, Colts, and then at the Chargers after watching their offense last night.
Pony, would you like, before we get to fair game with Nick Faribault, to know what our friend Caleb said had to say about your Brazilian butt lift near miss?
Yeah.
He just said, I don't think morally it's right for me to Photoshop Pony with a Kyle Lowry-sized wagon. That was how he put it. So he would have come up with a Photoshop of you with a gigantic bubble butt a la Mike Mayock, but he did not feel morally or ethically that that was the right thing to put out in the world.
I think Javon Hargrave might have had the biggest ass of any Steeler I've ever seen.
Didn't you say Kent Graham had the biggest ass?
Kent Graham had a huge ass. Guy Wimper, who was a backup offensive lineman for the Steelers, too.
Whose name is also, I think, a full sentence, just like Christian Ponder.
Look up his rear end.
I don't think I need to. I mean, I'll take your word for it.
That guy was the J-Lo of the NFL.
The J-Lo of the NFL.
Yep. Nick Faribault joins us right now for Fair Game with Faribault. The way this game works is we ask Nick if something's fair game, and he tells us if it's not for Sunday's matchup with the Packers. Nick, is it fair game that Zach Frazier will play versus Green Bay?
I think that's a very fair game. He was out here in practice today. I think he looked pretty good. The calf's definitely sore, but I think he's going to be good to go. And I actually think he'll be pretty close to 100%. So I think he'll look just like Zach Frazier does just about every week.
All right, Nick. It is now two games in a row. Aaron Rodgers has not been sacked. Fair game to say that that streak stretches to three.
I don't think so. I do think that this Packers front with Parsons, Gary, Devontae Wyatt might be coming back. It's probably a little too good. I don't think they're going to utterly dominate, though. And I think that's really what the Steelers need to do. You know, if Rodgers gets sacked one or two times, it's not ideal, but it's not the end of the world. You just can't have him sacked five, six times. I think Parsons or Gary gets home once, but I don't think they're going to thoroughly dominate the front. And I think that will be enough for the Steelers to at least stay afloat.
Aaron Rodgers versus teams under 500 this year, Nick. 11 touchdowns, two picks. Against teams with winning records, Seattle and New England, three touchdowns, three interceptions. Is it fair to say that Aaron Rodgers will play one of his worst games in a Steelers uniform Sunday night?
I don't think so. I think they match up really well, actually, against this Packers defense.
Wow! How about that against a defense that doesn't let you run the ball to save your life? How about that?
Right. The issues with the Packers defense is they struggle with tight ends. Obviously, the Steelers have three of them. And they struggle with quick game, and the Steelers do that really well, too.
But Pat's not allowed to play because it's a 4-3 defense. Nick, did you factor that into your thinking there?
No, I didn't. You know, I should have. You know, Freiermuth can't be split out wide and try and block a safety, apparently, in these games. The other thing is, you know, I just think the Steelers, in general, are kind of the team that can maybe test this run defense a little more. You know, the Packers haven't really faced a lot of running because they've gotten out in front of a lot of teams, and so these teams have been playing behind and thus are throwing the football a little more. They're still a very good run defense, but I do wonder if the Steelers, who are just kind of really humming on offense and especially on the ground, can maybe test one or two things. I think since week four, I think the Steelers have the most explosive runs in football, and that's without playing one game. So they are a team that can get after you. So I think the Steelers offense actually matches up maybe a little better, and so I think Rodgers is going to have a pretty good game.
Nick, fair game to say that the Steelers, five interceptions as a team on the year, will be able to get a pick out of Jordan Love, who's only got two, but as Pony and I pointed out, when he throws them, they tend to be absolute yakkers.
Yeah, I do think they're going to get a pick in this game. Love has also had some real luck on that side this year. He's had a few near picks dropped. There's going to be some regression on that. And Love gives you one or two per game, and if you take advantage of them, they can be game-changing plays. And I think the Steelers, you know, 2 weeks without a turnover, they dropped like five or six of them, Wondell and Gabriel.
Yep.
I think this week they end up snatching one. Whether it is, you know, a pick, a tip, whatever it is, I think they end up getting one.
Nick, the Packers offense has been incredibly consistent, one of the highest scoring offenses in the NFL. Fair game to say they'll score more than 24 points in this game.
I think that's pretty fair to say. I really do. I think you look at that offense, and not that the Steelers match up well right now against anybody necessarily, but they certainly don't match up well in this game. You look at Love and the kind of array of targets he has. They're really good at quick game. The Steelers are one of the worst quick game defenses in the league. The Steelers have struggled to defend the run. Despite the kind of Packers not getting the run game going, I think they have to be fearful of Josh Jacobs. If the Bengals can run on you, anyone can run on you, to be quite honest with you. So I think the Steelers have to be fearful of this. I will say this. If the Steelers do not stop Josh Jacobs, they have no shot of stopping this Packers.
Fair game to say the Steelers will stop Josh Jacobs Sunday night.
I don't think so. And that's why I'm saying over 24. I don't see it happening. I think they're going to get good gaps. I think they're going to be able to run the ball pretty well on the Steelers' defense, and I think they're going to be able to move the ball. You know, I think the Steelers might get one or two turnovers. It's going to be, I think, very similar to maybe the Patriots game. And I know that was 14 points, but I think it's going to be higher scoring. And I think, you know, the Steelers are going to kind of live or die by the turnover in this one. So we'll see if they can do that. But I think the Packers are going to move the ball pretty well.
Nick, fair game to say that Tucker Kraft is the most threatening pass catcher on this Packers roster, at least for the Steelers.
I think that's pretty fair game. I would be pretty worried about Romeo Dubs as well. He's just been kind of their middle of the field guy, and the Steelers have really stunk defending the middle of the field. And Kraft has kind of been a decoy at times. So those two, but Kraft has certainly, I think, been their most productive. But even beyond that, I mean, Matthew Golden's starting to emerge as the real first-round receiver you think he is. Christian Watson's probably going to be back, so he'll be their deep threat. Mm. I mean, they have a lot of options. But I do think Kraft is the A1 threat, but I'd be remiss to not mention the rest of those names because I think they have a really good array of talent, and that's without Jaden Reed and probably without Dontavian Wicks too.
Fair game to think that for once the Steelers' defensive coaches won't take stupid pills and remember to keep Nick Herbig in the game against Green Bay.
I actually think that is one thing that will happen. I do think Herbig's going to play a good deal this week, and I think that's going to be something that the Steelers are going to make a focus because you can't play him 29 of 72 or 76 snaps, whatever it was, just an absurd kind of snap count. It's one of the weirdest coaching decisions, easy coaching decisions I can remember in recent memory. I think they will naturally fix that. So,
Nick, I still can't get over Austin saying yesterday that they had to keep Highsmith in because they thought that Cincinnati still might run the ball with 2 minutes left. That was insane.
I mean, they played that like the run. Chuck Clark and Cole Holcomb were in too, so they clearly like played it like they were going to run.
They had to go 40 yards in 2 minutes.
I don't understand it, Pony. I don't. And
that's because you're a sane person whose brain was functioning during and after the game, Nick. That is the reason it makes no sense.
They let those Chase Brown second quarter runs completely like cause them to lose their minds in that game, Nick.
They did, and here's the thing. You know, I kind of have had people talk to me about their defense, and it's like it's all or nothing, and I think that's very fair. But the run game is almost completely correlated. If they allow a team to run on them, they get punked. Like, they really do get punked defensively, and it's because they changed the way they call the game. They take guys like Nick Herbig off the football field, and they just tailor it to stopping the run and then just get shredded through the air. And so, yeah, I mean, two runs dictating exactly how you played the game. The Steelers played a lot of split safety, two high looks. They then went and played a lot more man-to-man, played a lot more cover one, cover three, things like that. Like, they changed their entire gameplay mid-game. You can watch it on the film, and it's kind of crazy to me, to be quite honest with you.
Nick, I got one more for you. Fair game to say that the Packers will decide to try to target and exploit, among all other people in the secondary, Darius Slay.
I think they will, but I'll tell you who I actually think they're going to test the most, and that's going to be Chuck Clark and the two linebackers, because that, I think, has been really the actual kind of quick game stuff. That's where they're going. Darius Slay, you know, they can throw the ball down the field if they want to. I think that's going to be something that they look to, because this Packers offense likes to throw the ball down.
He looks like he's 100 years old, and I hate to say that about a guy who I was hoping was going to turn back the clock for one more year, but he looks every bit his age, Nick.
He did last year, too. He was just in the perfect scheme fit, and it was a quarter scheme. He didn't have to run a lot. Like, he could just play zone, use his eyes, and use his smarts.
Nick, why not play Porter and Ramsey outside and have Nichols play the slot? Why not do that?
Eccles,
yeah, my bad.
Honestly, Pony, I think if you actually played Eccles outside and played Ramsey in the slot Porter, that's their best way to do it. I mean, Eccles needs to play more.
All right, fair game to say that Joey Porter – I'll use this one in the terms of an over-under. Fair game to say that Joey Porter will go over 1.5 penalties called against him in this game.
I think he'll go under. I do.
So do I, actually.
And I actually just don't think this is a matchup where he's going to get calls for a lot of penalties unless he's on Watson. And even if he's on Watson, bigger receivers like that typically don't make him struggle. It's usually the physical big guys. Watson's just kind of a speed guy and tries to run right by you. Meanwhile, Higgins tries to, like, bully you. I think of guys like Cortland Sutton and even DK in the past when they faced off. You know, those are the guys that kind of get Porter sleeping and called for penalties. It's not really guys like Christian Watson or Golden or Dubs or whoever he's going to face. So I think he'll be pretty clean this week, actually.
All right, fair game to say the Steelers will beat the Packers and Aaron Rodgers will have a happy ending on Sunday night.
Guys, I'm going to make – I feel like no one's doing this right now. No one's picking this. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to win on Sunday. I do.
Wow.
I truly do. I think they are going to have a rough defensive game, and I think the Steelers are going to have what is going to be maybe one or two opportunistic turnovers and maybe a big special teams play, because that's the other thing. This Packers punt return has been a little leaky.
Mm.
I'm just saying. And Calvin Austin's back this week, or Keyshawn Williams, but they've both been really good on punt return. And I think the Steelers, this is a kind of game that Mike Tomlin typically kind of wins. You know, prime time, coming off a loss, the big game for Aaron Rodgers. Like, it's kind of the type of game Mike Tomlin wins. Everyone's doubting them. I don't think that the defense is going to be great, but I think they're going to get one or two turnovers. It's going to flip the game, and the offense is going to be able to move the ball well. There's a real matchup and exploitable weakness that the Packers have that the Steelers' offense is really good at. And so I think they win by, you know, 3 points somewhere around there. Not by much, but I'm picking the Steelers to win this.
That would be the most Mike Tomlin on-brand thing ever. Get shredded by everyone after you lose to a team you have no business losing to. Play a team most people think is going to beat you and deliver like a random command performance. And then, Nick, I'm going to have to hear from every national. Mike Greenberg might come on the air on ESPN the following day in the throes of ecstasy to talk about how badly he wishes Tomlin coached the Jets.
100%. This is the most Mike Tomlin win I've seen in a while. I'm going to be real with you guys.
All right. Nick Faribault, fair game. Thank you, Nick.
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
My understanding is that the one thing that really, if we want to continue to make Mr. Rooney upset, he does not like the Tomlin game comment. It gets under that owner's skin so much.
You want me to start calling it a game? You want me to start calling it a Rooney game then? Because he employs
Tomlin
Mike
games.
Who loses them?
He does not like hearing that.
Perfect. I'll call it a Rooney game
from
now on.
He hates Tomlin game mentions.
You
boy.
Call it Tomlin game, I'll call it a Rooney game,
he
and we'll meet in the middle.
He does not like that. Woo! You want to talk about getting art from taking his volume from a 3 to a 4.5, man. He really gets ticked off. He really gets red in the face when he starts to look at his stock numbers when he hears
well, no,
that
I
Tomlin
was gonna
game
think
mentioned.
Of like, I was going to think of like, what is a random legal term like thing he could do? Is he going to file an affidavit? He's going to get so mad. He's going to...
Man,
what?
When he looks at his IRA, when he hears about...
His IRA? His IRA?
You don't think he has an IRA?
What? Are you talking about an IRA?
Yeah.
Who calls it an IRA?
I don't know. I don't know this stuff.
I don't know. Get the hell out of here.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. No long-term contracts required. Just security on your terms. Take control of your business security with Ring Business. Get 24/7 audio video recording to capture everything and look for specific moments efficiently with smart AI search. Install it easily yourself or let our pros do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
Each and every day, Fanatics Casino lets you play fan cash spins for free, giving you a chance to win free spins, casino credit, and fan cash, which you can use on things like concert and game tickets, authentic apparel, and more. If you decide to supercharge your spin with a wager, you're guaranteed a win. Right now, new customers deposit and wager $10 and get 1,000 free spins on Cops and Robbers Bigger Big Money over 5 days. Fanatics Casino, America's fastest growing online casino. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Casino app.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett, and this is Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't. You know, we turned the ball over a couple of times. It's 60 minutes of football. We ran it well in the second half. Any pocket of the game, you can isolate and, you know, have judgment, so we don't worry about that. I thought we ran the ball effectively, largely, over the course of the game.
Mike Tomlin talking about why the Steelers got away from the run in the second half.
There are a lot of reasons to criticize the Steelers for that performance that they put out there on Thursday night. They scored 31 points. If you run the ball to get there, great. If you throw the ball to get there, great. You score 31, you should win the game. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Jason Mackey to join the show momentarily for the final 2 hours of the program. He's double-dipping. He's going to be hosting the evening show tonight. Chris Carter, the Post-Gazette, also going to join us at 8 for his weekly X's and O's matchup segment. What's he looking at? And one of the things I'm looking at is the Steelers running game, which has grown up right in front of our eyes these last 3 weeks against this terrific Packers rush defense. To run or not to run, that is the question. I think the Steelers are going to want to run the football. I think they're going to want to run it at Micah Parsons. I think they're going to want to throw big bodies at Parsons. He's a tremendous football player who one day will be wearing a gold jacket, but he's not great against the run. And so you throw Darnell Washington at him. You throw Spencer Anderson at him. I think that's exactly what the Steelers are going to do. But is that wise?
Yes, I think it is. I think it's important they run the ball at him. Very much so. I think I'd like to see them control the clock as much as possible here. Keep Green Bay's offense off the field. I think Jalen Warren's been one of their best players.
I would agree with that.
He has been outstanding. I like what they've been able to find running behind the right side of the line as well. I've really liked what I've seen from Mason McCormick, Troy Fautanu in run blocking recently. But if you're going to lean on the players who are the most productive and the best, isn't that Jalen Warren right now? Now, the challenge, of course, is going to be Green Bay's pretty good against the run.
Exactly. Very good.
But they need to run the ball, and I want them to have to commit people to the Steelers running the ball, and then that opens your play action stuff, opens your playbook a little bit, forces them to respect the run. If they're one-dimensional, I still don't love. I know the Steelers' offense has made progress, but their pass-catching options, man, they're so much better if you're doing that off of play action. If you're sneaking guys down the field, getting people to suck up and commit to the run, it's non-negotiable in a game like this for them to be able to run the football.
I'm caught in between because I understand exactly everything that you're saying right now. I would hope that if Green Bay is having a lot of success shutting the run down early, you don't stay committed to it, though. And that's counterintuitive to the way that I'm sure Arthur Smith believes you run the football. I don't think you want to run the ball into a brick wall, man. And I'm not saying that necessarily they're going to shut the run down, but
I think you have to commit to it. I do, Adam. I think there have been times this season where they've gone away from it too quickly.
I think that Green Bay is going to score a lot of points in this game. And I think if you're doing anything early that's not working, you got to scrap it. That's where my mind is. Your point about time of possession is a huge one, man. Steelers ranked 29th in the league in time of possession.
I know.
For the first time in half a decade, I don't think it's the offense's fault. You can help it out, like you're saying, with the running game. I will not disagree with that. But I think the Steelers' inability to get off the field on third downs is what's killing them. And don't look now, the best team in the league at converting third downs offensively. Oh, yeah. The Green Bay Packers.
Yeah. It's not a great recipe.
I think, dude, one of the reasons why I called you dude,
sorry,
that they,
you could call me worse,
were so bad on Thursday, and this is not an excuse, is they're old and they were playing on Thursday night. And also the cumulative, easy for me to say, effect of not being able to get off the field when you've got an aged defense means it's just going to keep getting worse and worse unless you can stem that tide and reverse that trend.
I mean, there's a valid argument there. I also look at what went wrong on Thursday, and I know we've spent a lot of time unpacking this. To me, it's a lot of stubbornness, too, or arrogance, maybe both.
Hubris.
Like, they should have had a better plan, and when the initial plan didn't work, there should have been backup plans. Like, how the Steelers continued to, I'm going to use air quotes here, defend Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins was abhorrent. I mean, it should have been different. The plan initially should have been different. I don't understand how you're just sitting back and basically saying, like, we're not going to get beat, but they're going to just continue to take and take and take and take. This guy's killing you. Adjust. Put two people on him. Put three on him. You have a 40-year-old quarterback. Why are you not committing more people to get after him?
Joe Flacco had way too much time.
Yes.
Not age.
If you go back, I'm not sure that they would change what they did because, again, you talk about the hubris.
That's scary.
But yeah. I think what they should have done is brought more pressure up the middle and doubled Ja'Marr Chase. And if Higgins beats you, if Yoshi Voss beats you, if Chase Brown beats you, so be it. You tip your cap, but you can't let that guy beat you. And the most damning of it, Jason, man, I can't believe it's Friday the following week and we're still talking about it because it hurts so bad the way that they lost that game. That final drive, double that guy. Double that guy.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't do it the entire game, do it then.
I mean, that should have happened the entire game, Adam. You're right. I mean, you double Chase. Joey Porter Jr. actually did a decent job on T. Higgins. Like, a lot of what he got was against other people. If you rely on him to take T. Higgins out of the game, and then you're bringing bodies to pressure the quarterback, everybody else gets one-on-one coverage. You have to count on those guys to win those matchups. The fact that Darius Slay couldn't win one-on-one against Yoshivash down the middle of the field, I mean, that's bad. That's
I think
a
he's
problem.
Cooked, man.
I worry it's not worth $10 million right now. I know that much.
Yes.
I don't know if he's cooked. I think there's something there. And I think being around these guys a little bit, like I think he adds something in the locker room. I don't think it's an altogether bad contract, but like there was opportunities for him to positively impact that game and he didn't do it. But I also thought the scheme didn't really allow for a lot to that to happen. Like one of the things I'm talking about, Adam, why is Nick Herbig not playing in that game?
He's
your best pass rusher. He's playing like 28-30% of the snaps, whatever it is. Like, get him involved more, man. That's a lack of creativity on the defensive side as far as crafting a scheme.
And the most damning thing about that to me, Jason, is they'll always say, purportedly, that Highsmith is the better run defender. The stats don't even bear that out.
No.
Nick Herbig has...
Herbig's been fine against the run.
He's
and
been
guess what?
Better
Nobody
than
Nobody was defending against the run against the Bengals. Chase Brown had 110. He was averaging
That's
fewer
the other
than
thing.
3 yards per carry.
That's a great point.
If that was defending the run, I don't want to see defending the run. I want something else.
Gotta have Highsmith out there. He stops the run. Oh, okay. Why aren't you stopping the run?
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. No long-term contracts required, just security on your terms. Take control of your business security with Ring Business. Get 24/7 audio video recording to capture everything and look for specific moments efficiently with smart AI search. Install it easily yourself or let our pros do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most. Running it. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring business page on r.com for more information.
Each and every day, Fanatics Casino lets you play fan cash spins for free, giving you a chance to win free spins, casino credit, and fan cash, which you can use on things like concert and game tickets, authentic apparel, and more. If you decide to supercharge your spin with a wager, you're guaranteed a win. Right now, new customers deposit and wager $10 and get 1,000 free spins on Cops and Robbers Bigger Big Money over 5 days. Fanatics Casino, America's fastest growing online casino. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Casino app.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, and this is Undomesticated.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I was just talking about another Patricia Heaton show, The Middle, with Craig Riley back there. But I think she'll always be known for this one. Everybody loves Raymond. Did you know that her dad was a famous Cleveland sports writer, Limits?
I did not know that.
There's a plaque for, I forget what his name was, right up in the Cleveland Browns press box.
Oh.
Did you know that, Ray?
Right next to Drew Carey?
Not far, yeah.
I did. We'll be going there in a couple of weeks, Joe, and I'll get to take a look again. I'll report back what his name is. It's escaping me at the moment as well.
I think it's Chuck, actually, now that I think of it. Chuck Heaton.
Chuck Heaton.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Why does Bob's mannequin to your left look more realistic than you and I do in real life, Ray? Look at that thing.
I know. What a strapping figure that is.
Strapping yet armless. For some reason, they didn't include arms on the whatever that is, a cardboard stick figure of Bob. And we miss him dearly. It's Pomp and Joe, and it's time for Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette. Ray is brought to you by LGKG, the born and raised Western Pennsylvania injury attorneys who take your personal injury cases personally. All right, Ray. Man, this has been an interesting week. What's one fix you'd like to see the defense make? Is there a let me rephrase that question. Was the issue against Cincinnati and their issues at large more about personnel or coaching?
When you said the word fix, Joe, I thought you were going to throw a question out there about the betting scandal. But, listen, in terms of fixing the Steelers' defense, listen, I do think it's a personnel issue in the secondary. I don't know if the pieces fit quite how they thought they were going to fit. And what I mean by that is I'm not sure that Jalen Ramsey is a shutdown corner anymore. And I think Mike Tomlin had visions of that when they acquired him back in June. So that's one thing they're probably going to have to adjust. I still think he's very good in the slot. I think he's a good safety. But they're going to have to figure some things out when they play Jamar Chase and other players of his skill set. And, the her big thing, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about that. They're going to have to find ways to get their best players on the field. Maybe it's at the expense of Alex Highsmith. But, yeah, there's certain things they could do for personnel-wise. I'm not sure how much of it is on the coaching. Listen, players have to go out there and play. The only thing the coaches can do is put them in the best positions where they can succeed.
Are they missing the presence, not necessarily Minka himself, but the presence of a quarterback of the defense, a traditional free safety type, Ray?
I think Deshaun Elliott's in that role. Even though he's the strong safety, he's the quarterback of that defense. They really like Deshaun. I don't know what happened that last game. They were run blitzing Deshaun a lot early in that game. Whatever they were doing in that game was not working. But, yeah, just in terms of having a voice back there, Deshaun is that guy. Patrick Queen is that guy in the middle. So in terms of communication, they're still having issues. I thought we would be past it by now, but those are still out there. So when it comes to who has the green dot, it's Patrick. But also Deshaun is deeply involved in that as well in the back end.
Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette. Sports Talk on the Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. All right, Ray, let's go to Herbig. 29 snaps after Terrell Austin said he would play more. Was that a mistake?
Yeah.
And what do you think? And I realize they have packages with Watt, Highsmith, and Herbig, but I'm curious about what you think the snaps breakdown will be between Herbig and Highsmith, who had a rotten game.
Yeah, listen, I think they could probably get away with doing that 50-50 in this game against the Packers. I think – Jordan Love is going to drop back and pass. That's part of their game. If the Steelers are stopping Josh Jacobs especially, they're going to have to go to that more. So, it was probably a mistake. But, I believe Terrell Austin when he said yesterday, we're not on the sidelines counting the snap counts. It's just a feel thing. They felt Alex was better against the run. That's why he was out there. But I think if you – listen to what Mike said on Tuesday. I think they kind of realize now it was a mistake, and I think they're going to take the steps to rectify that against the Packers.
Ray, what do you think the Steelers could have learned from the game against Myles Garrett that they could use to try to limit the success that Micah Parsons has in this matchup?
Yeah, do the same thing because Myles Garrett was quiet in that game, and Parsons is going to have to be quiet in this game if the Steelers hope to win. I mean, he's – every bit as disruptive as Myles Garrett can be. Just a really good player, moves around that defense too. So you got to be aware what side he's on. He could be in the middle. He could be rushing over a center or a guard too. So you really have to account for him. So that's going to be big this week. I would say one of the top three defensive players in the NFL, definitely one of the top three pass rushers along with Watt and Garrett. So, they're going to have to do a good job on him Sunday night.
How close to Aaron Rodgers? How close is Aaron Rodgers to getting into the MVP category here, Ray? At least having some odds attached to his name, he's on pace for 40 touchdowns.
Yeah, Joe, I'm writing about that for Sunday. Not that specifically about the MVP, but just the piece on Rodgers leading up to facing his old team there. And you mentioned it. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger set the franchise record back in 2018 with 34. I mean, he would shatter it. And I was also looking up some other great seasons by QBs over 40. Drew Brees led the Saints to a division title in a divisional round of the playoffs when he was 42 years old. Brady won a Super Bowl when he was 43, set career highs in passing yards and touchdowns in that season too. So it can be done. And I don't know about you, Joe, but if you watch that game against the Bengals, you know, the arm strength was there the first five games of the season.
Yeah.
What you saw in that game was the mobility, moving around, that comfort level of being the old Aaron Rodgers. That was the first time I sat back and said, that looks like Aaron Rodgers from Green Bay. And I talked to Seneca Valley coach Donnie Barclay this week. And, you know, Donnie was the right tackle for Aaron for 6 years in Green Bay. And he was saying, yeah, that looked like the guy in that game against the Bengals. That looked like the guy that I played with for 6 years. So other people are seeing it too. So I don't know if he's going to have a real shot at MVP, Joe, but the larger story is he's having a tremendous year, a better year than anyone expected for the Steelers.
Ray, when I evaluate and just look at the defensive line, especially with, what is it now, four games they've given up 100 yards out of the six? I thought that when Derek Harmon came back that would really clean some things up, but that was neutralized again by an awful team from Cincinnati that has just done a really bad job of running the football. What do you think can change on the defensive line?
I think they have to be more consistent. And if you listen to Cam Hayward's interview after that game in the locker room, he was pretty heated. He was pretty fired up about it. And you have to read between the lines a little bit, but he put a lot of it on the young guy. So I don't know if he was specifically talking about Keanu Benton, Y.A. Black, and Harmon, but he just grouped all the young guys in and said they have to be better. There's no excuses for being young. He acknowledges there are a young defensive line, but there are no excuses not to be in their gaps. And he went on to, like, he rattled off, like, Aaron Smith and, you know, Ziggy Hood. He was bringing out names of the past of guys who just did their job and didn't try to do too much. And I think that's what these Steelers have to get back to. They just got to do their job. If you're responsible for one gap, take care of it. Let everybody else do their job as well. And I think they'll take some steps in improving their run defense.
It's a Football Friday here, and that means normally that Greensburg's own Donnie Football is here. He's at a wedding, Ray, and he also turns 30. Isn't that sad, or is that happy for you to see little Donnie turn 30? You proud of him?
That's happy. 30's not a bad age, right? That's a happy occasion.
How old are you?
I am 52.
Holy ostrich milk. I've known you since you were in your 20s, right? Did you start out covering Pitt football in high schools first, right?
High school's first, I think August of 97 was my start date. Yeah, high school's first. Duquesne basketball. Penn State football. I was telling somebody the other day, Joe, Danny Nee in those old offices at Palumbo, Danny Nee had a fridge.
Danny Nee was great.
He had a fridge with beer in it. Anytime I would go down there to talk to him, he'd open up the fridge and ask me if I wanted a beer. So, those old days are good. But, it's been a while for me.
I enjoyed covering Duquesne basketball. I go back to the days of John Carroll. His wife, Beverly, taught a feature writing class at Duquesne that was a great class because it was all about how to get your own work published in, like, magazines back when magazines existed and newspapers back when newspapers existed around the country. It was great, and it was fun to cover Duquesne hoops. Remember covering high school football games, Ray, when you'd have to sit in the crowd or in a press box, but sometimes for me in a crowd, keeping my own stats in rain and sleet and snow. Remember that?
Yeah, I was talking to Jerry about this on the ride out to Cincinnati. Remember the days where you used to have to use couplers to transmit your copy back to the desk?
Yeah.
Sometimes you even had to use a payphone and put couplers on the payphone, and that didn't always work.
Tell Limits what couplers are. He looks confused.
Well, before the internet, there was actually some kind of
pull up a chair. Pull up a chair, Limits. It's story time with Grandpa Ray.
The dinosaurs are here around the fire.
Go ahead.
I know. Joe, you realize me and you are the only ones who understand this, but
pretty much,
yeah. We had to carry this contraption around in our bag with our computer that you would just set the telephone on it. You would hook it up to your computer, and then your story would magically appear at the Post Gazette offices after you click the button.
Oh wow!
So
incredible. Yeah. And sometimes, and I think a lot of people relate to this of a certain age. You know, you used a standard phone, an old school phone that you plugged into a wall, yep. And the greatest sound on earth was that crunching sort of electrical sound that made it known that you were connected. And man, it was always suspenseful. And one time I was covering a game, John Miller's Blackhawk basketball team won a playoff game, and I couldn't send. I don't even know if I was at Blackhawk. I was somewhere in Beaver County. Maybe it was a playoff game at a different site. There was nowhere to go. So I wound up knocking on somebody's house. I'm like, I have to use your phone. 30 years later, I might not have made it out of there alive. But back then, the guy opened his door, said, you know, what? And then he said, okay, here you go. I hooked up and sent the story. I was on deadline.
Every journalist who has ever come up covering high schools has done that. I did that in McKeesport, Joe. Knocked on somebody's door in McKeesport because the McKeesport Athletic Office.
Was it Joe Bendel's house?
It might have been Joe Bendel's house, but they were nice enough to let me in. And you know, such a shame. Now you get out of college now, and your first job is what, covering the Pirates or something?
Exactly.
It's crazy how things have changed.
That's two old men talking, Limits. Why don't you go ahead and ask a question?
I covered Pitt basketball when I was still in college.
Did you?
When they went on to play in that first four game in Dayton and then in Greensboro. It was awesome. That was my spring break week.
Who did they play? Who was their star player?
Who was Pitt's star player? Yeah. Blake Hinson.
Roy. Who?
Blake Hinson. The Diaz-Graham twins. And Nellie Cummings was on that team.
That's a good year to cover.
It was great.
Were you at the Duke game where you jumped on the table?
I was not at that one, no. George Michalowski was there for us at Pittsburgh Sports Now for that one.
That was a great moment. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And it's 11:28. Make the smart call. Buell Insurance, 724-443-5610. Ray, how about a prediction and a star of the game?
Yeah, I'm going to go Steelers 24-23, Joe. You know, anytime that the Steelers have a bad game, Mike finds a way for them to bounce back. And this is a really good and talented Green Bay team, so it's not going to be easy. And in terms of a star, I'm going to stick with him. He had a good game last week and a loss. I'm going with Jaylen Warren again. I think he's really starting to heat up, and I think they're going to continue to feed him the football.
Thank you, Ray. You're a wonderful man.
All right, guys.
Say goodbye to Limits.
Thank you, Ray.
Bye, Limits.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign. No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating canvas sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. All complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Fox Sports 1 is talking about my nipples right now. They just put up a nice fancy graphic of my tweet. Beside a picture of Aaron Rodgers pumping his fist. So, and now they're showing a new tweet of mine that lets everybody know that I'm actually following through with it and doing it. And I didn't just put that out there and then run away and hide and pretend like I never said it. And this is all happening at 416. Make the smart call, Buell Insurance Agency. 724-443-5610. I believe my next guest here, Malzi's off today. Steve Palazzolo, 33rd team, on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years, tweeted last Thursday night, when Evan McPherson lined up for the kick that produced the final score, 33-31. That this kick was for nipples. And you were right about that, Steve. Although I did, not a lot, but I had a little bit of hope when the greatest Hail Mary tosser of all time, Aaron Rodgers, got a look at it on the last play of the game. Oh, we lost Steve? Is he muting himself? Charlie, is he on the video and I can't hear him? Can you not hear me? Did I drop? He's gone? Okay. Is he on video or is he on phone? Phone. Okay. We lost him. All that talk about me piercing my nipples probably just freaked him out, and maybe he wants to disown the show and disassociate himself with me, which I guess would be maybe not a bad thing to do. In the meantime, Mulsey is not here today, but he will be back, and he'll be at the Lowe's in McCandless Crossing Sunday from 11 to 1. The Lowe's Earn Your Sunday Tour will be set up from 10 until 2. You can play Madden 26, view player lockers, and register to win tickets to Super Bowl 60. This one-of-a-kind interactive experience is the perfect pregame primer. Lowe's, an official partner of the NFL. I was going to ask Steve, once we got the tomfoolery out of the way, I was going to ask him about the quarterbacks in this game, because I would have told you before the season started that the Packers would have a distinct quarterback advantage in this game. Their decision to go with Jordan Love 3 years ago, looking pretty smart, because Jordan Love has taken the Packers to the playoffs in both years. He's been the starter there. His first year, he won a blowout road playoff game at Dallas, beat Aaron Rodgers' old coach Mike McCarthy, pretty much sealed his fate as Cowboys head coach. And then last year they made the playoffs as well, but they weren't able to do anything with it. So he's 2-for-2 so far. And Love has one more playoff win than Mike Tomlin does since 2016. I would have told you Love at 27 going into the prime of his career would be a better quarterback this season than Aaron Rodgers. The numbers tell a slightly different story, though. Rodgers, 14 touchdowns, 5 picks, 105 passer rating. Jordan Love, maybe Jordan Love actually is better. Okay. I went into this segment ready to proclaim that Aaron Rodgers has been the better of the two quarterbacks. Numbers not so much in my favor. 10 touchdowns for Love, so fewer than Rodgers, but way fewer picks, only two. Three fewer picks. He's got more yards per game, 239.7. Rodgers, 211.7. Passer rating for Love, 108.1. Love's got a better rating. I think the analytics people like the season Love's had more than Rodgers so far, too. We'll see if Steve Palazzolo, who I think is back with us, agrees with that. Steve, can you hear me?
Yep, got you now.
Did you think that there was a chance Aaron Rodgers was going to save my nipples on that last Hail Mary throw?
Maybe not on the Hail Mary. That was the most impressive throw of the day, just getting it to the end zone. That was very impressive. I can't imagine. Sam and I were having a watch along with our viewers, and we were thinking about you throughout the broadcast. Every time the Bengals did something, I was like, "Oh man, I wonder what's happened with Pony and the emotional roller coaster you had going on there."
Do you think that people in Cincinnati know about this? You live there. Do you think it was water cooler talk?
Oh yeah, I saw some Cincinnati people because I helped spread the word, did my part to spread the word with your bravado going into the game. So I think a lot of Cincinnati people picked it up.
Okay. Well, it's actually going to happen 6 days from now. I'm going to get my nipples pierced.
Yeah.
So the next time we talk, I'm going to have pierced nipples.
You hear all about it. I'm excited. I'm excited for you, for the listeners, for everybody.
There's some pretty eccentric guys in Major League and Minor League Baseball. Did you encounter dudes in the locker room in the clubhouse that had pierced nipples as a former
minor leaguer? I don't remember anybody offhand, to be honest. Okay. You know,
but you think it might have been a thing.
Tattoos and stuff. Yeah, I wouldn't say it was a thing. Tattoos bigger. I don't remember offhand anybody.
All right.
I'll think about it. I'll let you know.
Thank you. I was going
to. Someone to talk to. Someone to look up to.
The first real question I was going to ask you about Sunday's game is this simple one. Who do you think's been the better quarterback so far this year, Jordan Love or Aaron Rodgers?
I think Love overall. You know, I think Rodgers has played really well these last 3 weeks, though. I mean, I think if you're, you know, I always like to look at things throw for throw. If you go back to the beginning of the season, I don't think Rodgers was playing that great, even when they were winning some games. And I thought any time he was under any kind of pressure, it was trouble. And they weren't really throwing the ball down the field all that much. I thought the last three games, really good game plans, getting rid of the ball, getting the ball out of his hands quickly, quick decision making. And I thought last Thursday night, Rodgers, that touchdown to Freiermuth, where I'm sure you were going nuts, perhaps saving your embarrassment.
Yep.
You know, the movement that he had, just avoiding the rush, and he hadn't really shown much of that the last 2 weeks. So I think Rodgers is trending in the right direction. But if you're going this season, I think it's been Love. He's done a nice job when he's been asked to throw the ball down the field, has been pinpoint down the field when needed. It's kind of been a run-heavy Packers offense where he hasn't had to throw the ball a ton in most games, but when they've needed to open it up, he's done pretty well. So I think Love's playing some pretty good football as well.
Steve, if Pat Freiermuth, speaking of that play, if he went to the numbers people who worked for the Steelers and said, hey, win probability standpoint, should I have gone down there at like the 5 yard line instead of scoring a touchdown? What do you think the math wizards who work for the Steelers would have told him?
I'd have to remember what was the time left on that one.
The Bengals got the ball back with 2 minutes and 15 seconds left.
I think you got to score the touchdown there. When the Bengals did it, and I know the guy from the Bengals who got credit from Zach Taylor for going, you know, telling them, say, go down at the 5 if you have a clear shot at the end zone.
Yep.
It was their analytics department that suggested that. The only thing that made that work was the fact that the Steelers only had 2 timeouts instead of 3. Mm-hmm. And as you're watching the clock run down, if the Steelers had three timeouts and they went down at the five, the Bengals would have kicked the ball off with about 50 seconds left.
Yeah.
And then just needed a field goal. And so I think the Steelers, at that point, you're too far out with the two-minute warning and everything that you need to score the touchdown. And it hadn't actually even crossed my mind, but I'm assuming it would have been a touchdown, would be the call.
Okay. Because Roethlisberger went on his podcast and said that Freiermuth should have gone down. And I thought that was pretty ridiculous, but then again, Ben is going to go in the Hall of Fame, and I have to get my nipples pierced, so he kind of has a leg up on me.
There's
with
no
that.
Better explanation than that. So with 220, there's 231 left. If Cincinnati had, no, there's no way, because that makes it 31-30. No, that's a big bet. I don't care if he's going to the Hall of Fame. He's wrong. How's that?
Here's an interesting one from one of your favorites, Mike Florio, that he brought up yesterday that I had never even thought of, Steve. Steelers get the ball back. The Bengals, I think, stupidly kick the ball through the end zone instead of forcing the Steelers to field the kickoff. So the Steelers get the ball at their own 35-yard line with 7 seconds left. Is the right call there a 5-yard pass to make the Hail Mary easier that only takes 4 seconds off the clock? Or do you try to get a deeper out and give Boswell a chance to kick like a 65-yard field goal?
I thought they were going to go deep out to about the 50. But if you look back, it took, what, 4 seconds off the clock for the five-yard out? I don't know how, but that took 4 seconds off the clock. If you try to get a 15-yarder to get a 67-yard field goal maybe, that might run out of time.
Yeah, that thought never crossed my mind, and he brought it up, and I'm like, this is the first time I've considered it, but I did not think in real time that was possible.
When you're at the 35, you need at least 20 yards probably to just get a 65 or lower field goal, shorter field goal, and I don't think there's enough time to risk that. I thought they'd go a little bit deeper than the 5 yards, but that taking 4 seconds off the clock, I don't think that would have worked out.
Steve, one more game situation from last Thursday, seeing that I'm still stuck on this game, and we know why. Terrell Austin, the Steelers defensive coordinator, came out today and said that they were still, when the Bengals got the ball back down a point with 2 minutes and change left, they were still in a defensive look that took the run seriously because they thought the Bengals might still run the ball, needing 40 yards, presumably, to kick a field goal with 2 minutes left. And that's why, for example, their best pass rusher so far this season, Nick Herbig, wasn't on the field. I find that to be ridiculous. Do you agree with me?
Yeah, I still think defensive coordinators talk about stopping the run too much. I mean, I think, did Cam Hayward come out and say, hey, we didn't stop the run well?
Everybody has.
After the game?
Every single human being associated with the Steelers defense has said that, Steve.
Okay, so that's ingrained into them. So think about that for a second. The Bengals, did they stop the run well? No, absolutely not. Chase Brown had 108 on 11 carries. Samaje Perine had 31 on 7 carries. That's 18 carries, though, that we're talking about. And then the Joe Flacco keeper, 19 carries versus 47 pass attempts, really 50 dropbacks from Joe Flacco. I would rather be better on the 50 plays than the 18, 19. And so they didn't stop the pass game. That was why they lost. Yes, Chase Brown ran three times as well as he did any other game this year. That's bad. But it was the pass game, and Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, that was the issue. That's why Pittsburgh lost, not the run game.
The Steelers are an underdog Sunday night. Is it fair to say that the Packers, if we're ranking units in this game, Packers offense and Packers defense would be ahead of both Steelers units?
I don't know. I mean, I still think the Steelers have a good defense, or potentially.
Wow.
I've been disappointed.
That's interesting.
I still think they have the potential, right? Green Bay is not a great man-for-man, like man-to-man roster, but Micah Parsons is a force multiplier for that defense. He has been so good. I think it's closer than people would think on defense, but the Steelers have really let me down, and the Packers, I think, have played pretty well defensively. But, yeah, the Packers are probably a better team overall. So this is – it's a spite. You're leaning into spite. It's a big spite game. You get the best spite from Aaron Rodgers. I think there's a chance for the upset here.
Steve Palazzolo, 33rd team.
who got the word out that I was getting my nipples pierced after that loss. Thank you for that, Steve. Appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
Hey, anything I could do to help, good luck in 6 days.
Appreciate it. Steve Palazzolo. Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. 60 seconds away from Donnie's biggest football topic of the day in the Donnie Football Debrief, but first a headline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.